talk to my students a good bit about how the way I'm inviting them to interact with an artwork is just a rehearsal for how I want them to interact with their neighbors, who might also initially have some friction or discomfort or just being unfamiliar with something. And to say, oh, but I have the tools to be able to step in here. And I have the patience to be able to do that as well.
Welcome to Peace Talks. In this episode, Bishop Todd Hunter and Katie Hasseltine discuss our most recent conversation with Alyssa Yukiko Weichbrot. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Peace Talks so you don't miss out on any of our brave conversations. At the end of the episode, I invite you to join me for a 10-minute contemplative meditation. Here's Bishop Todd Hunter and Katie Hasseltine.
Bishop Todd, this episode with Alyssa made me want to see differently, see art differently.
I know. I'm afraid that I don't see very well at all, having heard her. And that's a good thing. I didn't grow up in a family that really had art appreciation in it at all. Like, I remember my mom liked nice things and, you know, she would dress pretty and all that, but not art the way we're talking about it here, unless the Flintstones matter, you know, like, hey, how'd they make that cartoon? So it was really good for me to think about how I do and don't see the world based on what she was teaching about art.
I agree. And I was thinking about how I am accustomed to images.
Yes.
Seeing. I am accustomed to that. But again, she's drawing us to look at pieces that have been created by people who have been intentional about looking at something a long time and then taking a long time to put it onto something or into something. And I think that's just a different way that I have not been formed in.
Yeah. The other thing that artists always do for me, and Alyssa did it, is to bring us back to the issue of the world's one true creator, God, who created, and that a part of us being in his image is that we are creators. Now, again, lots of people listening to the podcast have probably heard that before, but just speaking for myself, I have to be brought back to that all the time, that is an aspect of what it means to be in the image of God, to create good of whatever kind that might be, whether it's visual arts or something else, that really is a deep part of who we are. I guess I always think of art as like a luxury or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like an add-on to life if you can get it. And I love the way artists always bring us back to that core issue of no, creation matters and we're a part of making creation.
Right. And that's her whole basis for saying that's why art matters. And she even goes so far as to say, if you believe that incarnation matters, if you believe, you know, that it's all being recreated, that is why we look at art and see it the way we do. And so I thought she did such a great job of linking the theology of creation to observing art and why that matters.
Yeah, and think of all the people in the formation world who encourage us to be in God's art. And I feel like there's more and more being written these days, helpfully, about nature and how it relates to silence and solitude, and that seeing a red bird or a squirrel run up in front of you and stop, if we'll learn to notice even seeing God's art in that sense, if we can learn to pay attention to it, can make a difference in our own formation.
Yes, and I think that's one of the big things that she said that stopped me in my tracks today was, we are conditioned to look quickly and judge immediately. And I think about that just as I'm going through my house and trying to assess what needs to be done, or when I'm on social media and I'm scrolling, or I'm going past a neighbor on my walk with the dog. I am accustomed to seeing quickly, making an immediate judgment, but not really stopping to look. And her admonition really to slow down was just something to pay attention to. And even to slow down and pay attention to what you're saying, nature. When was the last time I stood and just watched a tree sway in the breeze? And what would that do for me? What could I see if I actually paid attention long enough in a slow enough way to see? I don't know.
Yeah, guys, I'm sorry for name dropping here, but this is such a cool story. Richard Foster, his home is basically in the woods somewhere around Denver. I forget where. And his office is like full of windows and it looks into a forest. And I remember calling him one time and picturing him sitting in his office. Hey, Richard, how you doing? Or what's going on or something. He said, oh, the trees are just obeying God. And and that's like, when he always say stuff like that, it's like, I know he's saying something so deep that I can't quite get my brain wrapped around. But like you said, it's that lingering versus hurry. It's presence versus anxiety. So I think I want us to go a little deeper here, Katie. Let me read to the audience her quote, and then let's talk about it a bit more.
Yeah.
She said, we've been catechized as a culture right now to look really, really quickly and to jump straight to judgment. We haven't gotten to that yet. And so she says, I think we all need to decide right now, am I going to put a little heart into this? That was arresting to me when she said that. Mm-hmm. And then next she said, and so we need a practice to slow us down. So let's unpack that just a bit more. Like, how did you react to that part of linking hurry and anxiety to that sort of instant judgmentalism that so many of us have to war against?
Well, as I understand it, judgment has something to do with fear or control. Mm. Yeah. And I think in that hurried, anxious manner, we go right to what we find comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to a bigger issue of she's really getting at that the way we take in images doesn't let us be open to something different. People that are different than us, experiences that we haven't had before. I mean, she's making some pretty big claims. And so when I think about that judgment piece, that to me is fear and that is control. It's just, this is what we do to kind of settle us in. It's why public memory, it's why images that we see collectively matter so much. Mm. And a good friend to both of us and board member at the center, Greg Thompson, is working to memorialize in statue form the Underground Railroad. And putting up these memorials, when you look around, I think it's 92 or 3% of statues in the United States are to white males. Mm. And so when that's what's memorialized, when that is what is seen by the collective culture, that's what we're comfortable with.
That's what matters.
That's what matters. And we don't know what to do with other images. And so for them, they made this huge push because they said it matters what we see as a people.
Yeah.
And it matters what we see. And we do have judgment that needs to be challenged. And I think this effort is just an example of pushing back against that hurry, pushing back against that fear and control, and just offering us as a people something different that we hope would ultimately lead to a deeper peace in our society when we could all live and occupy the same spaces with gratitude.
Yeah. And I hear in what you're saying that a sense of power or a disordered sense of power often accompanies those knee-jerk judgments, meaning if I can judge you, I have some sort of power over you. Like I get to name you, I get to describe you, I get to talk about your meaning or worth, not you personally, obviously, but anything I'm judging, there's a sense of power attached to it. And so again, we're right back to formational issues.
Yes.
Of dealing with ourselves and doing that, as Alyssa was saying, by slowing down, attending to our hurry, attending to that, I would say, disordered need for quickness and the anxiety, the power issues and stuff that undergird that. So let's look at her last thing, or no, the next thing she says is, I want to put a little heart into this. I don't know what you thought when you heard that, but it was really convicting for me. But I immediately thought of, for me, that meant, how can I practice the present moment? Like for me, I thought of, well, how do I bring my heart to this? And if you think of heart as, you know, sort of that the center of the human self, that sort of way of talking about heart. That's what I imagined. Like, oh, how could I just be present to what I'm seeing, right? To creation or human creation. That's where my mind went to presence. What about you? What did you think when you heard put a little heart into it?
Well, it drew me to one of the last things she said in the interview, and a way we can wrap up our time together is when asked, what are the questions we're not asking? She said, what keeps us from being loved?
Yeah.
And then she linked it to how art can help us to experience that deeper love. And so put a little heart into it was really for me this call to where is my love?
Yeah.
My love for others, my love for God, my love for self, and what keeps me from that? You know, it's almost the same thing as what keeps you from looking at something long. And I thought that was just a brilliant way to kind of put together what she was meaning.
Yeah, she really helpfully brought two things together that we very much care about in the center. Our own formation, when we think about anxiety and hurry, and then peacemaking, when we think about cultivating the kind of hearts to where we would be the kind of people who make peace in the earth rather than through judgment or power, misuse of power or other ways create non-peace, various forms of violence in the world. So I thought she was very helpful, and I'm really grateful for the podcast.
Me too. I'm really grateful. And I'm really excited about this series, and I'm excited to talk through the next one with you. So here's to the next one.
See you next time.
Welcome to today's Lectio Divina. As you come in, I invite you to settle into your space and begin by taking a few slow, deep breaths. Feel free to close your eyes or keep them open. In just a moment, I'll be reading a passage of scripture four times through and pausing for silent reflection along the way. Lectio Divina is Latin for divine or sacred reading. So we begin with intentional breathing to quiet our minds and soften our hearts as we become attentive to receive whatever the Spirit has for us in this time. Today I'll be reading Galatians 5:22-23. From a combination of the Message and New Living translations. As I read the passage two times through, listen for a word or phrase that stands out and seems to illuminate itself. Notice where your spirit pauses and use the silence that follows to turn the word or phrase over and over in your mind and heart. But the Spirit produces fruit in our lives, the kind that flourishes in a beautiful garden. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a compassionate heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates all things and people. We find ourselves committed and loyal, not needing to force our way, and able to direct our energies wisely. But the Spirit produces fruit in our lives, the kind that flourishes in a beautiful garden. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a compassionate heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates all things and people.
we find ourselves committed and loyal, not needing to force our way, and able to direct our energies wisely. As I read again, pay close attention to your word or phrase. There may be a feeling or an image that emerges for you, or a divine invitation toward confession, praise, or lament. You may sense a creative idea or prompting. Use the silence that follows to respond to God openly and honestly. But the Spirit produces fruit in our lives, the kind that flourishes in a beautiful garden. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a compassionate heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates all things and people. We find ourselves committed and loyal, not needing to force our way, and able to direct our energies wisely. In this last reading, allow your heart to simply rest in the nearness of God in this moment, remembering that it's not your responsibility to cling tightly to what has taken place or to make prayer happen. But the Spirit produces fruit in our lives, the kind that flourishes in a beautiful garden. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a compassionate heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates all things and people. We find ourselves committed and loyal, not needing to force our way, and able to direct our energies wisely. As I close this time of divine reading with a prayer, trust that God will hold what has taken place and will return it to you whenever you have need of it today. Holy Spirit, thank you for tending our hearts like a garden, planting, pruning, and turning over soil as we have need. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see where you're at work in us today. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Peace Talks, a production of the Center for Formation, Justice, and Peace. Each episode is produced on Yuchi, Shawnee, and Cherokee land. Our theme music is created and produced by Charlie Lowell.
For more information about Peace Talks or the Center, visit centerfjp.org or follow us on social media at centerfjp.